You've probably noticed that the Bible is full of stories. Full of stories, not about people who find God, but what? The Bible's full of stories about people that God finds, God chooses, God calls. The Bible's full of stories about people that God invites and stirs and provokes. The Bible, truth be told, is full of stories about people that God uses and God changes. It's not the other way around. In these finding narratives, these accounts of God's search for, hunt for, quest for persons, God often finds these people, well, not in their best moments. Have you noticed that? God finds them, oh, not because of their achievements or their merits, their good theology or good moral development or their deep faith. No, in fact, most of these stories are about their failures. These are not people who are smart. These are not people who are good. These are not people who are complete. These are not people who are sure. In short, who are they? You and me. Maybe you can remember some of those stories. I mean, God catches a guy in the belly of a whale. And why is he in the belly of the whale? It's because he's running away. He's bigoted. He's a mess. He's angry at God. What's his name? Jonah. Or how about that time that God picks a king? Oh, he seems shiny and good on the outside, but the truth is he's guilty of sexual assault and even murder. And then to cover it all up, what's his name? Yeah. God finds a woman who's laughing, even in her 98th year, married to a 99-year-old guy, sooner after they've been told that they will be the mother and father of a nation, and so she scorns, what's her name? Yeah. Or that guy up in the tree, that tax collector, he's up in the sycamore tree, what's his name? Or he plucks that guy up out of the waves, that cocky guy who's pretty sure of himself until he starts to sink. What's his name? Or the woman outside the tomb, the woman who doesn't seem to get it, who shows up expecting to anoint the body of her Savior, and then she meets him and thinks he's the gardener, and what's her name? We could go on and we'd find your name, don't you think? Your name in that great narrative of God's finding work. Because I think that's how it still works, how it still goes on, that God is in pursuit, not of the perfect ones, but in pursuit of the rest of us. In a few minutes, we'll all be standing up together to confess our faith. We'll all stand up together and affirm our baptism in a liturgy that we've used so many times before. And we'll do that not because we're sure. We'll do that together not because we're all done. We'll do that together not because we're good enough, because we're not. It's because we're still willing to keep wrestling, still willing to keep on wandering and wondering. We'll do that because it's a way to give ourselves permission to struggle with that wild and wonderful God named Jesus, that one whose faith we persist to assert, even though we can't prove it. This is Rachel Held Evans, and this is just before she spills her coffee. No, I don't know if it is or not, but... she's written a memoir, Searching for Sunday. It's a book that our council has been using, and we read different chapters each time we get together. And I would tell you that I have been reading it and rereading it and rereading it again during these days of my jury duty, just to stay sane, just to stay human. She has a chapter on what she calls confirmation, which a lot of us Lutherans, we would probably call affirmation of baptism. But it's her way of describing of the presence of God, her way of describing the presence and movement of the Holy Spirit. And she's just honest about the kind of the conundrum of trying to be honest about the inability for us to measure, to prove, even to see sometimes the presence of God. It's her way of just being honest, honest about the Spirit's presence and power, God's work and God's attention, even though to our eyes it seems all but completely invisible and completely unreasonable. A few lines. The Spirit is like breath, as close as the lungs, the chest, the lips, the fogged canvas where little fingers draw hearts, and the tide that rises and falls 23,000 times a day in a rhythm so intimate we forget to notice. Inhale, exhale, expand, release. In the beginning, God breathed, and the dust breathed back enough oxygen, enough water, and carbon dioxide to make an atmosphere, and then to make a human. Job knew life as the breath of God in my nostrils, given and taken away. With breath, the Creator kindled the stars, parted the sea, woke a valley of dry bones, inspired a sacred text. So too the Spirit inhaled and exhaled in a million ways, animates, revives, nourishes, sustains, speaks. It is as near as the nose on your face and as everywhere as the air. Evans doesn't stop there. She keeps weaving. She keeps telling more story and more signs. Spirit is like a fire, deceptively polite in its dance atop the wax and wick of a candle, but wild and mercurial as a storm when unleashed. Fire holds no single shape, no single form. It can roar through a forest or fulminate in a cannon. It can glow in hot coals or flit about in embers. But it cannot be held. The living know it indirectly through heat, through light, through the tendrils of smoke snaking through the sky, through the scent of burning wood, through the itch of ash in the eye. Fire consumes, it creates, it destroys, and destroys in its creating. The furnace that smelts the ore drives off slag, and the flame that refines the metal purifies the gold. The fire that torches a centuries-old tree can crack open her cones and spill out her seeds. The Spirit is like a seal. Oh, not the animal. No, an emblem bearing the family crest, a promise of belonging and protection and favor, like a signet ring to soft wax. The Spirit impresses the supple heart with the power and prestige of God. No one, no one, not kings, not presidents, not the wealthy, nor the magisterium, can take that identity away. The bond of God is made of viscous stuff. He put his seal on us, wrote the apostle, and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Remember, marked with the sign of the cross, and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit forever. Well, she's not done. She adds yet another metaphor. The Spirit is like wind, Earth's oldest sojourner, which in one place readies a sail, in another whittles a rock, in another commands the trees to bow, and in another gently lifts a bridal veil. Wind knows no perimeter, the wildest of all the wild things. It travels to every corner of a cornerless world and amplifies the atmosphere. It smells like honeysuckle, and curry, and smoke, and sea. It feels like a kiss, a breath, a burn, a sting. It can whisper or whistle or roar, bend and break and inflate. It can't be harnessed and will never be stopped. We are born into a windy world, where the Spirit is steady as a breeze and as strong as a hurricane. The Spirit is like a bird, fragile alloy of heaven and earth, where mind and feather and flight meet breath and blood and bones. The rabbis imagined her as a pigeon, the Celts a wild goose, Like a dove, she glided over the primordial waters, hovering over Mary's womb, and descended onto Jesus' dripping, wet head. She protected Israel like an eagle, and like a hen brooded over her chicks. So look up and sing back. Catch the light of God in a diaphanous scrim of wings. And finally, the Spirit is like a womb from which the living are born again. We emerge, lashes still wet from the water, eyes unadjusted to the light, into a reanimated and freshly charged world. There are so many new things to see, so many gifts to give and receive, so many miracles to baffle and amaze, if only we pay attention. If only we let the Spirit surprise and God catch our breath. That's pretty good writing. Rhonda, Jim, Tom, Melissa, Jack, Sawyer, Cooper, Marisa, and Jeff, and River, and Fisher, and Katie, they will all affirm their baptism. Not because they're perfect, and not because they're certain, and not because they're good enough. They aren't. And neither are you, by the way. But like you and me, they've been found. They've been found, and they've been loved, and they've been forgiven. All by a God who never quits hunting, even in life, even in death, even in life again. Try it with me, with your thumb. We've been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit for how long? Amen.